Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you guys today. And this morning, I'd like to continue a series that started several weeks ago. It's called The Unseen, and it's based on this verse in 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, "We fix our eyes not on what's seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And basically, we have these two different realms. We have the realm that we see, that we experience with our senses. It's our day-to-day lives. Then we have this other realm of eternal things, of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, of Satan, and angels, and demons, and eternity, and future reward, and coming judgment, and things like that. And this verse is saying that what we see, what we experience in the day-to-day is temporary, that it's not going to last forever, and in that sense, it's not really important. What's important is what's going to last, what's going to last forever. And so we want to fix our eyes not just on the day-to-day, but on this unseen spiritual world. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We live by faith, not by sight." We have faith in the unseen. We don't just live by sight in this seen world. We have faith in this other realm, this spiritual realm. And when we look at the definition of faith, see, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So even in that definition, we have this idea of being certain, of having faith, of being confident, being fixed on this unseen world. And today I'd like to talk about a certain aspect of that, and that's the day of judgment, the day that Jesus judges every single person. And I think sometimes that can sound like a really heavy topic. Maybe something that we don't particularly like to think about, but I think it can be a wonderful thing to think about. In Jude, it talks about how we can stand in His presence blameless with great joy. Everyone in here, I hope that's your experience on the Day of Judgment. But we want to make sure that we don't miss that. We want to make sure that we are living for that and that we're helping other people to find hope in that particular day. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Kind of like the coming king, and some people recognize that, and it was joyful. It was a day of celebration. They laid down palm branches on the road. Just this thing of honor, this, wow, this is really cool. But others were there. The Pharisees were there, and they weren't happy. They were disappointed. They thought, oh, we've lost. We've lost this battle that we're waging against Jesus. And so for some, it was a glorious day. For some, it was a horrible day. It was humiliating. And that's the way judgment is. And so I want to look at this. And what I hope to do is to just start with a canvas and paint a picture of this day. If you think of it in those terms, it maybe will be a little more artistic than doctrinal. I want to capture some of the emotion and some of Jesus' heart in that day. In doing so, I hope we'll really have a different feel about that. I hope we'll be able to imagine it and see it in a way that we can fix on it. We're supposed to fix our eyes on the unseen. We've got to imagine it. We've got to think of it. We've got to see that it's there. We can't see it physically, but can we still see it? Can God open our eyes such that we see it? And so as I go through this picture, as I paint this picture with words, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up some different verses on the screen. And those verses don't necessarily correlate with some kind of one-to-one relationship with exactly what I'm sharing. But these are just verses that kind of came to my mind as I was thinking through this and that are directing this line of thinking. I'm not saying that they're saying exactly what I'm saying. But I hope that you'll capture Jesus' heart in all of this. So let's start off with some prayer. God, we are here today because we are worshiping You and we are seeking You. And I pray, God, that You would help us to see the unseen, that You would open our eyes. And I pray that we'd be able to picture this day of judgment in a way that would change us. I just feel like if there are certain things, if we just got it, if we could just see it, change everything. God, help us to see You and to see Your heart for us. I pray, Jesus, capture us today. Capture us with Your love. And so we invite You to stir us up, to connect with us, to draw us in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Jesus said that it would be a day when he would gather all people before him, and he would separate people like a farmer might separate the sheep from the goats. And so I had this picture in my mind that we have heaven, and then this huge kind of auditorium on the other side of heaven. And if you could picture this great wall with heaven on one side, and then maybe in front of the gates of heaven would be some kind of throne. I guess I picture it a little more informal, like maybe a temporary throne, even a podium that Jesus would stand behind. And then there would be some kind of a huge field that would be sloping so that people could all see. And there would be 40, 50, 100 billion people all standing before Jesus, somehow separated at some point. So there's two different groups who are standing before him. And I envision these people all coming into this natural amphitheater. And I imagine Jesus just uncomfortably, nervously pacing in front, waiting for this event to happen. Maybe at times a smile would break across his face. Maybe a tear would roll down his cheek. Perhaps there would be a couple of angels standing next to him, maybe Michael and Gabriel, just standing there very stoically. But he would be stirred, and these people would be filling in. I imagine this could take hours or days or months. I don't know, but I imagine it filling much like one of our stadiums would, maybe an hour or 2 hours. Maybe all coming from portals in the back or something and just very quickly coming in. It would be this very somber thing. Perhaps there'd be a little bit of speaking, maybe, oh, excuse me, or maybe there'd be some angels who'd be directing people and say, hey, you, stand over here, why don't you come down here? There'd be just the shuffling of feet, I imagine, would make quite a rumble with billions of people, but there wouldn't be laughing and joking and horsing around. And I imagine this whole crowd forming and getting into its place, and then it's kind of reaching this moment where it's like, okay, we sense that we're ready. Again, I imagine Jesus just up front and pacing and seeing that this moment has arrived, and maybe still taking a couple minutes just to kind of gather his emotions a little bit, and then stepping up in front of the podium and saying, my beloved children, how I have longed to hold you in my arms. I have longed for a day that I could hold you since you were born. I was there at your birth. I've been watching your life. You probably don't know this, but the day you took your first step, I clapped. I was so excited to watch you. And I watched the first time you hit the ball. I watched every victory. I was there at your wedding. I was there when your kids graduated. And I rejoiced alongside you. And I was there through every hard time as well. Every hurt, every pain. The time you got into that accident, the time you were in the hospital, the time you had your heart ripped out. I was there, and I always loved you. And I long for you to come to me. I long to gather you in. And some of you did. Motion to the people on his right. Some of you did. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saying yes to me. And then looking out at the rest of the crowd, I can imagine him just talking to them and trying to figure out what's going on. You might say, why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you come? You still don't understand these things. I know all things, but it's still hard for me to grasp. Why didn't you come? I loved you. so much. And I imagine Jesus, as he's speaking, just being like a father who's condemning his own children, standing there having tears roll down his face as he's talking. And I imagine him choking his way through the message, just talking, and every once in a while just having to just stop to compose himself a little bit. And I can imagine him getting to a point where he just cannot say anything without losing it. And he just stops, and there's just complete silence. And he tries to compose himself. And he tries, and he's almost got it. And he just physically can't. And his shoulders start heaving, going up and down. Just physically, he can't hold it back anymore. And he just lets out a wail and bursts into tears. And he's just sobbing. And billions of people are sobbing with him. I can't even fathom what that would sound like, but oh, the horror of it. Picture him being like a father who's lost a child. The emotions just coming in waves, and him getting to the point where he can stop and speak again, and he's almost ready, and then it hits him again and again and again. And I can imagine this going on for 40 minutes or an hour, maybe even a couple hours, just being so hard. I imagine the angels coming up to him and trying to comfort him, minister to him. I'm like, Jesus, it's okay. This is the right thing. You love them. You gave them every opportunity, and trying to encourage him. Finally, I can picture him getting to that point, regains his composure, and just wanting to understand, wanting to explain his side of this great rift. I loved you so much, and you saw me. You knew I was there. Remember when you were a little kid and you caught a lightning bug and you squished it between your fingers? I wasn't really upset that you killed it, but didn't you see the little glow stuff like all over your hands and just think, wow, that's magical? Remember the first time you saw a peacock? Didn't you just look at it and be like, what in the world? Who painted that? Did you have crickets in your house? And did you think, who's the violinist? Or who taught the songbird to sing? Did you look out at the night sky and just stand there and go, wow? Did you smell the vastness of the sea? Or the coming of spring with the lilacs? Did you ever experience love? Human touch? Didn't you see all this? And see me? Didn't you see this and think I had sent you a Valentine's card? That I was trying to capture your heart? Didn't you notice that? You noticed that. You knew. You knew, but you didn't respond. I put eternity in your hearts. You knew that you were different. You looked out at the rocks. You never thought once that you were the same as a rock. You looked at the plants, and you never thought, oh, I must be a plant. You looked at the cats and the dogs and the monkeys, and you never thought, I'm just like them. Because you're not, you're an eternal being. I created you in my image. I created you like me. And you knew that you would live forever. And you knew that someday you would be standing here. I set eternity on your hearts. Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come? I wanted you. I wanted you to chase that down, seek that out. Look for me. I set my law in your minds, such that you knew right from wrong. You knew that there was something spiritual in life, You had a conscience. But you didn't follow that law. Even what was in your own mind, you didn't follow. You just went your own way. You violated your conscience, and then you didn't look to see. It's like, who made this law? Where did this come from? How do I know this is wrong? And not only didn't you follow it, but you completely rejected it. I wanted you to be my lover. I wanted to take you away with me. But you didn't love me back. You loved yourselves. And you loved stamps and coins and entertainment and riches and body parts. You love things that you created with your own hands. But you didn't love me. And that ruined you. You just became so cold, broken, and selfish. And I watched this all, and I just thought, oh, if you would just come to me. If you would just come to me, I could give you life. But you wouldn't. You kept running. But you knew me. You knew me from the creation. You knew me from the law in your heart. You knew me from the eternity that I showed you. And there were times that you knew that I was calling you. You knew I was trying to grab your heart. And you spit in my face. You spit in my face. And it was like I was running to you with open arms. And come to me. Come enter into relationship with me. And you ran right past me. And you acted like you were embarrassed that I knew you. Ashamed to be seen with me. You turned your back on me. You knew me, but you didn't respond. You just ran away. You didn't enter into relationship. You didn't worship me. You didn't thank me. In fact, not only didn't you credit me for the things I had done, you blamed me for all the brokenness. You looked out at this brokenness and said, what a mess! What a mess Jesus made. You didn't look at your world and say, oh, what have we done to His creation? You didn't look at the world and say, look at what the evil one has done. You didn't blame the one who came to steal, kill, and destroy. You blamed the one who came that you might have life and have it to the full. And I did everything that I could. I came and I lived among you. I came in human form. I showed you miracles. I presented myself to you. And you took me to the cross. And that had to happen. And I'm glad I went to the cross. Because I wanted to make it easy. I went to the cross to take the punishment that you deserved. I went to the cross so that God's wrath could be poured out on me instead of you. Man, I just wanted it to be so easy for you. Everything I did backfired. When I tried to make your life just wonderful and a blessing, did you turn to me and say, oh, Jesus is so wonderful? No, you ignore me. You didn't need me. When I brought crisis and hardship into your life, did you turn to me then because you needed me? No, you shook your fist at me. I painted a picture for you of heaven and hell. I made heaven just look so wonderful so that you would get it, so that you could see that there's something amazing in your future. And I made hell just sound as horrible as possible, such that you wouldn't even want to think about it. You couldn't even stand the thought. I just wanted it to be black and white. Here's this easy decision. Here's heaven. Here's hell. Here's life. Here's death. All that you have to do is say yes to me. I want to take you. I'm proposing to you. Holding out a ring. Will you marry me? And I just wanted you to say yes. But you didn't. And then he would look back over those on his right. See, some of you still feel like you failed and still feel shame. But you did the thing that I wanted. You turned to me. You came to me. You said yes. You responded to my love. I want to welcome you into heaven. And I can picture people starting to file in and Jesus just walking up and grabbing the first person and just giving them a bone-crushing hug. So they lose their breath. And be kind of like a reception line after a wedding and just each person talking to them. Hey, remember this one thing? Okay, yeah. And somehow, again, I can't imagine it going on for days and months. It's got to all happen within an hour or so. I know the math doesn't add up, but he ushers them in through the gates and into heaven. And I imagine them walking in there, this being this massive banquet hall, this huge hall with tables all over the place. And there's food on the tables. There's whole turkeys and grapes and mashed potatoes and stuffing and fruit from the tree of life and other fruits that we've never even thought of before and all this wild food and pizza and Doritos. And I'm not sure about a lot of the details of this, but I'm pretty sure those two things are going to be there. And it's just going to be awesome. There's going to be, you know, people are going to be waiting as everybody comes in. There's going to be dancing and music that people have never dreamed of. It's just going to be so incredible. This big, giant festival, huge party. And they're going to be celebrating. It's going to be so amazing. And imagine everybody gets ushered in. And Jesus says, I'll be right back. And he goes back out. And he addresses the crowd one more time, the masses, the greater number of people. And he says, I gave you every opportunity. I wanted you to come. But you rejected me. And now, I reject you. Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. And then he turns around and he shuts the gates of heaven. Maybe slams the gates of heaven. And everything outside the wall, I just picture just kind of fleeing from his presence just goes, and off into whatever torment awaits them. And Jesus is just completely appeased at this point. And there's no more mourning. There's no more sadness. He's just going to go celebrate with his bride. And he walks in and he's like, okay, guys, everybody quiet. Everybody quiet. I have something I want to say. And I mean, there's such a raucous that he can't quiet down the crowd because it's just so much fun. Maybe it'll take 10 minutes before everybody stops and everybody's just having a party. Angels serve goblets of wine to everybody, and they bring it out, and it's at every place, on every table. And Jesus takes a cup, and he holds it up. He says, do you realize that I haven't drank from the fruit of the vine since the Last Supper? I've been looking forward to this moment for 2,000 years. And every time you guys celebrated communion, I thought of this day. I thought, someday, I'm going to be celebrating this with them. And so I want to offer a toast to my bride, to my love, to you, and to my Father. Here's to our eternity. And that's the beginning of the rest of our lives after judgment. Again, I don't know that it'll unfold exactly like that. I guess I kind of think that some of that compassion that I painted into that picture might be done by that time. Jesus may have already reached that point where he's a jilted lover. But man, that's going to be a cool day. And I hope that that stirs something inside you, that you're like, wow, he really loved me. He really loved me. And he chased after me. And I hope a lot of you are just like, that's so cool. And I'm glad that he chased after me till I responded. Thank God that I've fallen into his favor. But there might be a few people out there who are like, I'm not sure I'm going to be on the right side of the room. And so I just want to give you an opportunity today, if you want to respond to Jesus' offer to enter into a relationship with him, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Because I hope you're stirred. I hope you sense his love for you. And so I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity just to respond to Jesus and just to say yes. And so let's just pray. God, I don't know the details of some of what I just shared, but I know your heart. And I know that you love us more than we can grasp. If the picture I just painted captured some of your love, it failed in capturing enough of it. And I thank you that that's your heart toward us. I thank you that your desire is that no one would perish, but everyone would turn to you. Everyone would come to a place of repentance, would receive you, would enter into a relationship with you, and find life with you. So God, I just pray if anyone's in here that's at that point that they want to say yes to you, that you would give them courage to respond to you. Give them courage. If you're at that place, I just want to know that you're responding today. If you want to say yes to Jesus, would you just do me a favor and just look up at me and make eye contact with me? Okay? Anyone else? I know Satan, our enemy, would say, you can do it tomorrow. I don't know if you'll get that chance or not. If your heart's at that place today, would you respond today? Does anyone else want to look up at me? All right, let's pray. Well, Jesus, I just thank you for what you've done for us. I thank you for eternal life. I thank you that we can stand before you on that day with joy. Because it's like the commencement. It's not the end, it's the beginning. The beginning of us seeing the unseen. And I pray, God, that you would help us to remember that. Help us to live in light of that. God, that we might experience you and that we would have something to offer to this dark, broken world. God, help us to find life in you, to enjoy our relationship with you, and then offer life to this world. So I pray, God, you would help us to fix our eyes on the unseen, to live for eternity. I just praise you for what you've done for us. I look forward to that day so much. You are so good and so amazing. We love you. We just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you responded today, or if you just want to learn more about beginning your relationship with Jesus, this little booklet is really helpful in starting that journey. And then I would really encourage you just to talk to someone else about decisions that you've made this morning as well.